Today is the 7th day of January. Welcome. Welcome back to the Global Campfire, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. It is wonderful, and I am grateful to be in this safe oasis, this place that we can come and let whatever is going on go. Just give ourselves permission to exhale. This is a safe place. We're just here to read the Bible. And we need this. We might think that we're so behind, or, you know, things are getting a little out of hand. We don't really have time. We might find that we gain so much more time and life and perspective back by investing the time into our spirits and into our relationship with God, that the dividends are so much more than the reckless chaos that life can throw at us. So I'm glad that we are in this safe place, a place that can restore, a place that can repair us. So let's take the next step forward. We are now in the book of Genesis. Slow down and focusing hard on a man named Abram. And like I've said, let's pay attention, because this is the origin story. This is the foundation story. This family, as this all develops, shapes the entire rest of the Bible. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 through 18, verse 15. Abram's wife, Sarai, had not borne any children for him, but she owned an Egyptian slave named Hagar. Sarai said to Abram, "Since the Lord has prevented me from bearing children, go to my slave. Perhaps through her I can build a family." And Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So Abram's wife, Sarai, took Hagar, her Egyptian slave, and gave her to her husband, Abram, as a wife for him. This happened after Abram had lived in the land of Canaan 10 years. He slept with Hagar, and she became pregnant. When she saw that she was pregnant, her mistress became contemptible to her. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for my suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and when she saw that she was pregnant, I became contemptible to her. May the Lord judge between me and you." Abram replied to Sarai, "Here, your slave is in your power. Do whatever you want with her." And Sarai mistreated her so much that she ran away from her. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. He said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" She replied, "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her authority." The angel of the Lord said to her, "I will greatly multiply your offspring, and they will be too many to count." The angel of the Lord said to her, "You have conceived and will have a son. You will name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your cry of affliction. This man will be like a wild donkey. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. He will settle near all his relatives." So she named the Lord who spoke to her, "You are El Roy," for she said, "In this place, have I actually seen the one who sees me?" That is why the well is called Beer Lahai Roy. It is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar gave birth to Abram's son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him, saying, I am God Almighty. Live in my presence and be blameless. I will set up my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell face down, and God spoke with him. As for me, here is my covenant with you. You will become the father of many nations. Your name will no longer be Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I will make you the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful and will make nations and kings come from you. I will confirm my covenant that is between me and you and your future offspring throughout their generations. It is a permanent covenant to be your God and the God of your offspring after you. And to you and your future offspring, I will give the land where you are residing, all the land of Canaan, as a permanent possession, and I will be their God. God also said to Abraham, As for you, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations are to keep my covenant. This is my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you, which you are to keep. Every one of your males must be circumcised. You must circumcise the flesh of your foreskin to serve as a sign of the covenant between me and you. Throughout your generations, every male among you is to be circumcised at 8 days old. Every male born in your household are purchased from any foreigner and not your offspring. Whether born in your household or purchased, he must be circumcised. My covenant will be marked in your flesh as a permanent covenant. If any male is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that man will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. God said to Abraham, As for your wife Sarai, do not call her Sarai, for Sarah will be her name. I will bless her. Indeed, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she will produce nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abraham fell face down. Then he laughed and said to himself, Can a child be born to 100-year-old man? Can Sarah, a 90-year-old woman, give birth? So Abraham said to God, If only Ishmael were acceptable to you. But God said, No. Your wife, Sarah, will bear you a son, and you will name him Isaac. I will confirm my covenant with him as a permanent covenant for his future offspring. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will certainly bless him. I will make him fruitful and will multiply him greatly. He will father 12 tribal leaders, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will confirm my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this time next year. When he finished talking with him, God withdrew from Abraham. So Abraham took his son Ishmael and those born in his household or purchased, every male among the members of Abraham's household, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskin on that very day, just as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when the flesh of his foreskin was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13 years old when the flesh of his foreskin was circumcised. On that very day, Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised, and all the men of his household, whether born in his household or purchased from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. The Lord appeared to Abraham at the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent during the heat of the day. He looked up, and he saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to meet them, bowed to the ground and said, My Lord, if I have found favor with you, please do not go on past your servant. let a little water be brought, that you may wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. I will bring a bit of bread, so that you may strengthen yourselves. This is why you have passed your servant's way. Later you can continue on." "Yes," they replied, "do as you have said." So Abraham hurried into the tent and said to Sarah, "Quick, knead 3 measures of fine flour and make bread." Abraham ran to the herd and got a tender, choice calf. He gave it to a young man who hurried to prepare it. Then Abraham took curds and milk, as well as the calf that he had prepared, and set them before the men. He served them as they ate under the tree. "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they asked him. "There, in the tent," he answered. The Lord said, "I will certainly come back to you in about a year's time, and your wife Sarah will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent behind him. Abraham and Sarah were old and getting on in years. Sarah had passed the age of childbearing, so she laughed to herself, "After I am worn out, my Lord is old, will I have delight?" But the Lord asked Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Can I really have a baby when I'm old? Is anything impossible for the Lord?' At the appointed time, I will come back to you, and in about a year, she will have a son." Sarah denied it. "I did not laugh," she said, because she was afraid. But he replied, "No, you did laugh." Matthew 6, 1 through 24. "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. So whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be applauded by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask Him. Therefore, you should pray like this: Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your offenses. Whenever you fast, don't be gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so that their fasting is obvious to people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting isn't obvious to others, but to your Father who is in secret. and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Psalm 7. Prayer for Justice. A Shigayon of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning the words of Cush, a Benjaminite. Lord my God, I seek refuge in you. Save me from all my pursuers and rescue me, or they will tear me like a lion, ripping me apart with no one to rescue me. Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is injustice on my hands, if I have done harm to one at peace with me, or have plundered my adversary without cause, may an enemy pursue and overtake me. May he trample me to the ground and leave my honor in the dust. Selah. Rise up, Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up against the fury of my adversaries. Awake for me. You have ordained a judgment. Let the assembly of peoples gather around you. Take your seat on high over it. The Lord judges the peoples. Vindicate me, Lord, according to my righteousness and my integrity. Let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteous. The one who examines the thoughts and emotions is a righteous God. My shield is with God, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge, and a God who shows his wrath every day. If anyone does not repent, he will sharpen his sword. He has strung his bow and made it ready. He has prepared his deadly weapons. He tips his arrows with fire. See, the wicked one is pregnant with evil, conceives trouble, and gives birth to deceit. He dug a pit and hollowed it out, but fell into the hole he had made. His trouble comes back on his own head. His own violence comes down on top of his head. I will thank the Lord for his righteousness. I will sing about the name of the Lord Most High. Proverbs 2:1-5. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, listening closely to wisdom and directing your heart to understanding. Furthermore, if you call out to insight and lift your voice to understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Okay, so Abraham. Now, is Abraham and no longer Abram? And Abraham received a promise from God that his children, his offspring, would one day inherit a promised land, the land that he was in. Abraham had no children. And so in today's reading, God told Abraham how he was going to fulfill his promise. Like, he's like, I'll be back in about a year, and your wife Sarah will have a son. Abram's wife Sarah is in her 90s. Abraham's wife Sarah overhears this and laughs to herself because she's too old to have kids. God then confronts her and reiterates that she will, in fact, bear a son. What have you been holding out hope for in life? What if those kinds of words came to you about this time next year? About this time next year, if you walk this path, trust, about this time next year, what would that do? Like, what does that do? And I'm not saying that that's what the Bible is promising, this kind of magic thing. I'm just saying, what does that do? What does that do when you think of this thing that you've been hoping for that's impossible? Does hope rise, or do you laugh at it? And that's kind of the lesson here with Sarah. It invites us to examine whether we trust or whether we don't. Now listen, there is no shame or judgment here. Like, I'm all over the place on all kinds of things like this as well. It's an invitation to become self-aware. Not to be condemned, not to be in shame, but to be aware. And then we flip over into Matthew. Jesus is moving through the Sermon on the Mount. And so this is like a foundational, fundamental teaching of Jesus. And he is teaching about living in the kingdom of God. And throughout his life on earth, Jesus did model true humanity as it was intended to be. And that reveals a picture of true servanthood. And his words do point us then to how we should live. If you're going to help somebody, and this is Jesus talking, if you're going to help somebody, you shouldn't be making a big deal about it. You shouldn't be like posting it. You shouldn't be broadcasting your good deeds so that you get the praise and affirmation. Because that reveals what you are after. And if that's what you are after, then good for you. You've already got your reward. That's what you were after. You got what you were after. But if you want to have a correct heart here, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do these things in secrets. Your Father, who sees your secrets, will give you your reward. And when you pray, don't be fake. Don't have all of these words and complex prayers out in front of everybody so everybody can see how godly, how spiritual you are. Go into private. Pray to your Father in secret. That's where he will hear you. And then there's this statement. Really difficult one, actually. Very, very challenging one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's a really hard one, depending on where we are in a process. And it makes it like, wow, this is compulsory. Because it is. This is the currency of the kingdom of God. Forgiveness. And it's not always easy, depending on what it is that the offense is, the brokenness or the trauma that has come as a result. And so I just want to say, it's not like a one-off here. Forgiveness sometimes it is really truly just like saying, yeah, I'm gonna just let that pass. I'm not gonna hold on to that. I'm not gonna retaliate against that. I'm not gonna hold a grudge. I'm not gonna get back. Vengeance is not going to be mine on this. I'm just gonna let it go. And there are other times where the wounds are so deep that even identity has been shaped and shifted, and so it's a process. A process of trusting, walking, healing, growing, and over time, letting go with the intention that this is step by step and day by day. And it's not just to release a person from what they have done or chosen to do that has broken you, but it's a choice to, as you grow and recover from what has happened, that you can release yourself from what has been broken and what has been lost, and release these things to God, and release these people to God, and release their choices and the consequences of their choices that have devastated you to God. I understand that can take a while. And you don't have to walk around in shame or condemnation for that either. It's just a matter of choosing that that is the direction to walk in. The direction of forgiveness. It's not just an immediate letting go, suppressing, walking away, and then feeling guilty about how bad that still hurts. It's about taking one step forward every time there's a chance to take a step forward, trusting that you're walking the path of forgiveness. Because at least in Jesus' understanding, and we believe Jesus to be God in the flesh, and this is God's kingdom we're talking about, forgiveness is key, critical currency in that kingdom. It just does not mean we pretend that things didn't happen. It means that we ultimately have a place to release those people and those things and those events in our lives that we have to slowly let go of because we can't carry them forever. Forgiveness is a command. It is a command. But it is also an invitation to become free over time, eventually. And when we forgive, we are forgiven. So Father, we invite you into that, a deep, painful process sometimes. We need to cultivate this within us, the resilience within us to not hold on to every little thing so that we are so full of resentment and bitterness and vengeance and retaliation that all we do is live for revenge and destroy ourselves and destroy everyone around us. And yet at the same time, sometimes things happen that break us utterly and completely, and all we have is to wait for your mercy and your Holy Spirit to slowly rebuild our identity. And part of that process of rebuilding is slowly, over time, letting it go. Help us in the pain and in the process so that we can hold on to this promise of restoration and forgiveness for ourselves. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. This is where to get connected and be connected to the community that we are a part of now. The ship that we are on sailing through this year, and we're out a ways now. It's too far to swim back, so we got to stay together in this, right? But we're not so far that we can't see the land that we left. We can't see last year. We can't still wave at it. Won't be long, though, before we'll be out in the deep together, sailing across this year. And we'll need each other. And so staying connected and being connected to the community is great. Check out the community section, either on the web or in the app. There are a few things that are there. The prayer wall is there. The prayer wall is a prayer wall. It's kind of low tech, not super high tech. Place to go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no matter what's going on, and be able to reach out and ask for prayer, or to reach back and pray for someone, or to come and rejoice and celebrate together. It's not like it's a private place for us in this community. It's not on the, well, it's on the internet, but it's not like you can search it up. It's within this domain of this ship that we are on, sailing across the year. And so it is a place to go. No matter what happens and no matter when it happens, you can reach out and share what's going on. Whether that be challenge or whether that be victory. So be aware of that. Always on, never off. Then also in the community section are the different links to the different social media channels that we are on. If you are in some of those spaces, coming, following Daily Audio Bible, checking in. We try to give some behind the scenes things. We try to give encouragements along the way, announcements, things that are going on. And so if you are in those spaces, we're probably in those spaces too, and it's a good way to just kind of stay connected. So whether that be Facebook, whether that be Instagram, whether that be X, whether that be YouTube, whether that be TikTok, we're in these places. And so if you are in these places, then just come along, keep up with what's going on, stay connected in the community. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if the mission here to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anyone who will listen anywhere on this planet, any time of day or night, and to build community around that rhythm, the rhythm of just showing up, knowing that we're showing up for each other, knowing that we're showing up for ourselves, if that is life-giving to you, well, the Global Campfire has existed for these 20 years and kept burning because we throw twigs and logs on it together. All of us in this together keep this going. Thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, Dab family. This is Nancy calling from Oceanside, California, with my arms lifted to the sun, Jesus. I would just like to lift up our sister, Rebecca, who just called in on the community prayer. She's requesting that God bring a friend her way. And Lord, I pray that happen for her, one that she can fellowship with, pray with, and be encouraged by. I thank you, Lord, for this time. I thank you for your people. I thank you that we're two or more gathered. You hear our words. Well, I believe that there are going to be thousands hearing this. You know our sister. You know her needs. You know her beautiful, gentle heart, who calls and prays for others. And I thank you. I thank you and love you, Lord Jesus, and I love all the community. Thank you, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Howdy, Dad fam. This is Cowboy calling from Texas. It's January 2nd, and I want to lift a brother up, Darren from Idaho. He's calling for Gina. She passed away and went to go be with the Lord a couple weeks ago, and she left behind two boys. And I know how this feels, because my mom went home to go be with the Lord December 16th in 2000. That was 4 days before my birthday and one day after my brother's birthday. And she was a mighty warrior for God. And when she went in, she knew she wasn't coming out. And that was okay. She had that faith. She had that peace that only God can give. Because for me, I'd have been freaking out, worried about my kids, you know. But she gave us to God. And her boys are doing all right. You know, we had trial by fire, but we're doing okay. And, you know, God answers prayers, because he's bigger than all of that. And she got to see those prayers answered in heaven. So, family, let's pray for these two boys, that God keeps his mighty hand on them. Oh, holy heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this group and these boys. Lord, thank you for loving us, Father. Lord, thank you for the cross. Keep your mighty hand on them, Lord. Guide them throughout their day, Father. Lord, give them peace beyond all understanding, Lord. And guide them, Father. Lord, deliver them from temptation, Father. Lord, keep your hand on them and bless them and increase their territory, Father. Holy Spirit, minister to these boys. Minister to this family. Give them peace, Lord. Keep that ring of fire around these boys throughout their walk and through their journey, Father. Lord, and I pray that these boys glorify your name. They become mighty men of God, and they just honor you with their lives. In your holy, holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you, family.
Hello, everyone. Happy New Year. This is Minita from Illinois. I just want to kind of say a few words about staying consistently here, listening to the Word of God, and really meditate on it. Keep it in our hearts. We'll make it. We'll make it through. Only if we do it every day. Keep God first in our lives, and we'll get to know him better, more and more every day. Stay in prayer, in the Word, like I said. Really meditate in it. Keep it in our hearts. And, quiet down all that worldly stuff. And step away from too much TV, too much social media. And put God first. And balance our lives, you know. May this new year keep us closer to the Lord, and set our minds on things above, you know. And one thing they always remember, the only time you should ever look back is to see how far you've come. And we will come far. We will get there when Jesus comes again as the King of Kings to pick up his church. We'll make it. We'll get there. God bless you guys. And we'll continue to pray for one another and love one another. A big hug. God bless. Bye-bye.
This is God's precious and loved daughter, and I'd like to start this year, 2026, by sending in my first prayer request ever after listening to Daily Audio for about 8 years. I want to lift up our son and ask that you will pray faithfully for him. He has walked away from his faith, and now he says he doesn't believe in God. He denies that there is any sin, and he is not teaching his own children about God. And it breaks our hearts. And we pray faithfully for him, but I would like to ask you to pray for him as well. His name is Justin. Thank you so much.